Dwight McCool. I'm acting chair of the audit committee this morning in Molly Curl's absence. Today is Friday, October 18th, 2019, and the time is 8 a.m. We have a quorum of the audit committee with Paul Plunkett sitting in for Molly. I now call this meeting of the audit committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. The first item on the agenda is the review and approval of the minutes of the August 15th, 2019 Audit Committee meeting. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda package. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve
just
the
a
minutes?
Question. Just a question.
Oh,
just
sorry.
A question. I think it's
I heard
on,
no over here.
Yeah, on F, I think that we might have missed a word that says approve. We have a motion to recommend that the savings and mortgage lendings information technology change management program audit. Probably a word missing there.
Sorry, I don't see where you're looking.
Page 4,
yeah, okay.
Agenda item F, uh-huh. Under the action.
Oh, yes.
The word,
oh,
the word
yes,
approved
that's right.
Is missing.
Recommended
approved.
Oh.
We can make that modification.
Yeah. It, all's good after that.
Okay, we'll make that modification. So do I hear a motion to approve the minutes as modified of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on August 15th, 2019?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Paul, second by Hector. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it, since there is no one opposing it, and the motion passes. The next item on the agenda is a review of the agency's activities, and we'll start with the Department of Banking.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our audit findings status report is on page 9. The first item about the complaint process, we have completed that. And then down below on the IT management program, you will see that next to the bottom, one item is completed, the other four are ongoing. We indicated at last meeting that they should have been completed by this time, but we need a little bit more time to complete. So we are saying that they will be completed before the next meeting and by November of this year. And that's all we have.
Okay. Caroline?
Yes, savings and mortgage lending is on page 10. Under the sunset review, it was recommended that SML update its complaint processes and rule. That has been completed, and the rules were adopted at the August Finance Commission meeting.
Okay. Thank you. OCCC.
And then the Office of Consumer Credit Commission report is on page 11 and 12. There are 8 items listed from 4 separate audits or reviews, but all 8 items have been completed. The majority of those, 4 of those, half of them were with the IT change management audit. So we have introduced all those changes to our procedures to implement those recommendations. And then some best practices from the Workforce Commission, we have completed that recommendation. And then the last 2, one of which is the data validation from a former recommendation from some time ago with the Garza Gonzalez audit related to property tax lender examinations. That required a new project and new functionality on our IT system. So that had a much longer implementation time frame, but that has been completed as well. And then we have one item listed as a future item for a risk management program review that will happen next spring.
Anything else on the activities? The next item on the agenda is the discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's August 31st, 2019 Investment Officers Report.
Did we vote on the
activities?
We don't.
All right. Okay, the first up is the Banking Department on page 13. Jesse, would you come forward and identify yourself for the record and go over the report?
Sure. Good morning, members. Jesse Salcillo, Director of Special Audits, Department of Banking.
So I'm going to start on page 13. This is the a report where it shows the funds that were seized by our department. It will show that the report basically shows that the funds were transferred from the original depository to the Texas Treasury safekeeping in June of 2019. So it would show a zero balance as of August 31st, 2019. Any questions on this particular page? Okay. We'll move on to page 14. This is a summary of the activity for the trust-funded guarantee fund accounts. And this is from June 1st through August 31st of 2019. Normal activity for the most part. It will show, if you look at the market value or the ending balances of August 31st, is $1,436,029.39. And it has where the funds are held in various CDs and with the Texas Treasury safekeeping. One thing under item two, under the additions, you will notice that the $97,000 in change that was on the previous page was transferred over to this account. So that's obviously the bulk of the activity for under the addition section. And if anybody has any other questions on this page.
Jesse, I've got if you would tell the sure. members about the seizure, just briefly.
Sure. So this seizure had to do with a permit holder of ours that had a permit to sell prepaid funeral contracts. Under that, during a routine examination, we found out that some of the cancellations on the prepaid funeral contracts were canceled fraudulently. And we did an investigation, and our review noticed that at least three of them were canceled at that time. So we issued the seizure order. Then after that, we are currently working on it, and we've identified at least between 20 and 25 additional contracts that were canceled fraudulently. So we're still working on that, and we're working with the permit holder to obtain the restitution and at some point find a successor funeral home to honor these contracts. And we're in that process still. Okay.
Thank you.
So sure. I don't know whether this is the appropriate time to ask the question or some other time during that. So what do we do in terms with the law enforcement community when we discover something like looks sort of like garden variety theft to me?
Are we required to do a SAR?
Not in this particular situation. So right now what we're doing is we're trying to work to get the restitution from the funeral home. What we'll do is we'll do some sort of consent order or some order that will issue some fines. In the past, we have referred them over to some sort of a district or some county attorney to look into it. But since this amount, it's about $50,000 that we're identifying that may be a shortage, sometimes they're not very interested in looking at it. But we had one case several years ago that was a larger amount that we did refer over to a county attorney, and they did pursue and issued some other ones. There was also one in El Paso that the person was indicted, and they're still, my understanding, I'm keeping in touch with that officer. They're still working through it, and maybe there'll be some jail time there for that person. And that was about $200,000+. It was a bigger amount.
So, Jesse, I would say on this particular case, as far as a referral to the Travis County DA, that's still an open item.
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yep. That's the process to go right. to the.
Yes,
to
we're
the
not.
County.
Yeah, we're not. We haven't finalized our process yet. So, but it. Yes, that's correct. Okay. So, move on to page 15. This is again the same type of summary report from June 1st through August 31st, and this is for the insurance funded accounts. We have an ending balance of $695.29. Very minimal activity here, just basically interest income earned for that period and the trustee fees. And other than that, there was no other activity on this page. Okay. Any other questions?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
So then up on page 16, we have the Sammy's certificate of completion on the training on the Public Funds Investment Act, which is really and that's all we have Madam Chair.
Thank you, Jesse. We'll move to the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending.
Thank you. SML is on page 17. This is the investment officer report as of August 31st. As an update, subsequent to that time and subsequent to the last Finance Commission meeting, the first two CDs matured, and those funds have been moved to Texas Treasury Safekeeping. If you all have any questions, be glad to answer them.
Thank you for that update.
Thank you.
Office of Consumer Credit.
And then the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner report is on page 18. It's the Residential Mortgage Loan Originator Recovery Trust Fund. That's just normal activity moving through that fund. And then on page 19 is the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund, which has obviously a bit more activity. Most notable in the additions, you'll see a large addition in the cash portion, and that's at Treasury Safekeeping Trust. That's was the amount, the transfer from the Savings and Mortgage Lending Department that the Commission authorized. That happened late in the fourth quarter. So that's the most notable item, I think. Otherwise, there's normal activity moving through this particular endowment fund.
Thank you, Leslie. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's August 31st, 2019 Investment Officer Reports?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Paul, second by Hector. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. The next item on the agenda is the discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's 2019 fourth quarter financial statements.
Good morning. Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. On page 20 is our operating statement for period ending August 2019. For the quarter, our actual revenues were at 61.8% of budget. Year to date, percentage is at 93.6. I'll go over this item on the next page. And, our actual expenditures for the quarter are at 87.3%. On pages 21 and 22 are our overview of our variances for the quarter. I will go over four specific items. The first one is bank and trust regulation. Our actual revenues were less than budgeted due to the reduction in the fourth quarter bank assessments of 60% or approximately $3.9 million. For the year, $5.2 million in bank assessments were forgiven. Year-to-date, bank and trust regulation revenue is at 90.4% of budget, and that was adequate to cover all direct and indirect costs for that area. Second item is non-bank regulation. So we have a variance for the quarter, and that is due to less assessment fees collected than budgeted. For the year, the excess revenue is attributed to collecting unanticipated fines and penalties from Alliance's money services businesses and a prepaid funeral contract permit seller. The year-to-date non-bank regulation revenue is at 108.1% of budget. Next is our classified salaries and employee benefits. So we have a positive variance, and that is due to vacancies. As of August 31st, we had five administrative vacancies and 13 examiner vacancies. And then the last item is the other operating. We have a positive variance that is due to lower than anticipated deferred maintenance expenditure, especially after we replaced the elevator and our boiler system for this building. Are there any other, any questions? Okay, next on page 23 is our liquidity report. As mentioned in August, our goal was to bring down our unreserved cash balance to around 2.5 months. Currently, it's at 2.51 months for the quarter. And that
so
is-
So you missed your target, is that right?
Yes, and this is within the liquidity policy guidelines of 2 to 6 months. So, are there any questions?
Questions? Yeah. Okay, we'll move to the Department.
Thank you.
Savings and Mortgage Lending. Thanks, Sammy.
Sure. And Tony Antoff will present the financials.
Tony Anto, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending.
our material starts on page 24. This is our operating statement as of the end of the fiscal year. All the variances are, the bigger variances are explained on page 25. I'll be happy to answer any questions about the financials and the variances. Our revenues, we finished the year with the revenues being 4.4% over budget, and the expenditures, actually the material says 6.7, it's a typo, it's 6.0, it's 6% even. Sorry about that. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to address. Our liquidity report is on page 26, and we are in compliance with the liquidity policy because our unreserved cash balance is under 6 months and currently is at 5.9. Well, as of August 31st was 5.99 months.
So should we applaud? This time to applaud?
Well, we did a little celebration, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long road here. With this, I'd be happy to address any questions.
Members, are there any questions? Thanks, Antonia. The next Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner is the next item on this agenda.
And Christina Cuellar-Hoke will provide our report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Christina Cuellar-Hoke. Our financial statements start on page 27. On page 28, we have our overview of budget variances. And this is as of the fourth quarter, as of the end of the fiscal year. For revenues, we ended up with 104.9% of budget. For our motor vehicle industry, it's over budget, primarily due to a renewal rate of approximately 91% compared to the estimated renewal rate of 87%, which was consistent with historical trends. For creditor registration, that's above budget due to 12% increase in the number of registrants since 10-1 of 2018. Our expenditures ended up with 90.9% of budget. Our salaries and wages expenditures are 92.4% of the projected budget. The variance is primarily due to the salaries throughout the year. The OCCC chose to leave several of the positions unfilled when the positions were vacated and ultimately reduced the headcount in fiscal year 20. Travel expenditures are at 88.9% of the projected budget. Employee vacancies within the exam department contributed to this variance. And page 30, our liquidity cash balance ends at 7.8% of the year, but by the end of fiscal year 20, we do expect that to be under 6.
And August is normally has been a high collection month for us because we've just gone through two renewals during the summer. And as you may recall at the last meeting, you know, in the budget, we talked about deferring those into the next fiscal year, extending that motor vehicle renewal period, which will align better with our fiscal year. So that'll make the cash position, I think, work better when that's better aligned.
Thank you. Thank you, Christina. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2019 fourth quarter financial statements?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Hector, second by Paul. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motions have it. The ayes have it, and the motion passes. The next item on the agenda is the discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the selection of an internal auditor for the Finance Commission agencies for fiscal year 2020. As you will recall, last meeting, the Audit Committee approved the RFP process for internal auditors. We received three proposals. All three respondents who submitted proposals to the RFP met the minimum RFP submission requirements. These The firms that responded were DK Partners PC, Weaver and Tidwell LLP, and Garza Gonzalez and Associates. I would like to suggest that the audit committee discuss the possibility of having presentations made by one or all of the respondents to help us move this process along and differentiate more the firms that have responded, because we did only receive the three responses. So I would like a bit of discussion from the audit committee concerning that.
Sammy, could you come describe to us the RFP process? Is that okay?
Yes. Absolutely. I think we need to understand that.
Good morning. Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. So after the recommendation from last meeting to go with the RFP process, we published the RFP. Basically, that entails putting it on in the state system and notifying all the vendors that are on the CMS centralized master bidding list, notify all those vendors that there's that RFP out there for them to consider applying for. Now, we had over about 5 weeks. It was sitting out there for 5 weeks for vendors to look at it. And then we've gotten those proposals on September the 20th. And then we've gone over it, all three agencies looked at those proposals.
Refresh our recollection.
Yes, sir.
Of how many people are on, how many firms are on that
list?
Yes,
sir, on exactly 167.
So
167
firms. 167 were eligible.
Were eligible to.
Okay.
To apply.
And they were all contacted.
They were all emailed. We've gotten probably about 5 or 6 kickbacks because the emails were undeliverable. And that's basically a normal thing that happens. A lot of firms put their emails out there just, but they don't update them. So about 167 firms were out on, or on the list. So when we've gotten the responses, the proposals, for those three vendors, all three agencies looked at them, and we came up with that with those spreadsheets that we sent you, so you can look at them. We looked at the minimum requirements. You know, did they submit everything that they need to submit? And then we looked at the other requirements. Are they basically qualified or not to move on to the next step, which would be presentations and scoring.
Sammy, just to reiterate, so the three agencies looked at them, and then it was evaluated from the standpoint of whether the three that are that the chairman just mentioned were qualified.
Yes.
For us to evaluate.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And in the past, the practice has been to have presentations so that the audit committee had an opportunity to ask questions and flesh out the proposals a little bit more than just reading the proposals on paper. So I would like to entertain the idea of having some presentations. I know we're in a bit of a time crunch here, but.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you. We have less than 2% response from the 167. And I'm not sure if that's commonplace or not. It seems somewhat low, but I don't see any issue with them having to come and do a presentation. I think an interesting part is that the McConnell firm didn't respond to the RFP, which is interesting. But,
well, and that's a bit troublesome, and I don't know whether we aren't willing to pay enough. I don't know what the issues are with McConnell Jones. We would have hoped that they would have made a proposal because, in effect, they had a one-year contract with an option to renew for 3 years, as is the state requirement. And we terminated their contract. So, in effect, we had fired them. It's a big word, but that would be what I would have thought. If I had been in their shoes, and so.
How is that contract stipulated? I understand there's a 3-year renewal, but we have to.
We terminated it effective August 31st.
Yeah, but per contract terms, we needed to give them in writing the renewal by August 31st. But there was a recommendation to go with an RFP last meeting.
So given the recommendation, we did not give them the notice of renewal for at least 1 year, therefore we're at this RFP process.
And historically, the last two times we went out for RFPs, we had six respondents.
Yes.
Six last time, six the previous time, and this time's three.
So Laurie, as you know, I have a point of view here, and I want to express it. There's sort of two good issues, and they sort of compete with one another. One of those issues is we have a paper evaluation of these audit firms, and we haven't had the face-to-face review, which we've done before. And so that causes some anxiety. And the other concern, and this is my big concern, is the audit contract was terminated by its terms at the end of the last fiscal year. So now we're in the new fiscal year, which started, remind me what date, I guess
September 1.
So now we're mid-October. The next time we would consider it after the review of the folks would be the December meeting. And then whoever we picked in the December meeting would have to come out with an audit program, which would take them some time, and they would present that to us in the February meeting. So we're halfway through the fiscal year without an auditor. And so my view is the lack of having an auditor for half a year trumps the concern of reviewing the auditors. And since the top box recommended auditor is an auditor we've used before, you know, my preference would be to select them and have them for a year, and then next year we do a process which gives us the full analysis and review of them. So that's my concern. And whichever way we go, whether we do the interview process out of the audit committee or whether we do the select Garza Gonzalez decision, I'm going to raise this issue again at the full commission. So it doesn't really matter to me which one we do now, because I want to tee it up for the full commission to vote. Because I frankly don't know, you know, it's the will of the Finance Commission which one we do, and I'll go with either one, but I think the Finance Commission needs to make this decision on its own.
We put ourselves under the gun by going out for this RFP.
Yeah. It is what it is, and so now we...
And whatever the process is, I think we should follow the process.
And what's a bit troublesome is, you know, in any new firm that comes in has a startup period, you're right, and a learning period. And when we discussed the RFP the prior year and the proposals, we all acknowledged that. And so McConnell Jones did spend quite a bit of time on that. They also did a presentation of what they would audit for 2020. And I find myself in a quandary that, you know, we used Garza Gonzalez for many years. Last year we wanted a change. We said we wanted a change. We were willing to accept what was going to be a long process to get them up to speed. And in addition, they had the efficiency audit to do and sunset going on. And now we're asking, you know, I believe we overloaded them at some level, but now we're going backwards to Garza Gonzalez if we would take the recommended firm from the paper analysis and evaluations that we did. And I just find that troublesome, and I'm definitely willing to just have a discussion at the full Finance Commission meeting on it.
So I quibble a little bit
with
the characterization of going backwards to Garza Gonzalez, because, and I probably need to call on Leslie's institutional memory, but I think that in the past, we had Garza Gonzalez, and we went to another firm.
That's true.
Then we came back to Garza Gonzalez, and I'm not sure anybody articulated that as a going backward, and okay. So I just quibble with that term.
Yeah, I agree, and possibly I misspoke. It's going forward to Garza Gonzalez, since they did do a proposal, they did a good proposal, and they had done a good proposal last year.
So.
But they're, yeah.
So however, Madam Chair, however you want to proceed, I just wanted to make sure that you understood what my thought process is at the full Finance Commission meeting.
I totally understand.
Yeah, I think that the Garza Gonzalez firm, in as much as my tenure is concerned, did absolutely fine. I think it's more of the process that.
It's a problem.
I agree.
That we were looking for more expanded processes when we did the last RFP.
It's a learning experience for all of us.
Oh, it is. It is.
Always.
So, are there any other comments or questions for the audit committee? Do I hear a motion to interview the three respondents before the audit committee makes a final decision?
I make that motion. However, we need to do that in the month of November prior to our December meeting.
Is there an ability for us to have an audit committee meeting and do presentations in November?
Yes, we can do whatever y'all would like. Yep. We just have to post the notice. If y'all decide to meet at any time, we can do that.
I would couch that motion that we do it at a period in time where it's sooner rather than later and definitely before the December meeting.
Okay, so Hector, your motion then would be that we go out for that we have presentations, but we have them in November and we try and schedule a meeting of the audit committee in November to do that.
Correct.
Okay, is there a second?
Okay, Madam Chairman, I'm going to second the motion, but as I understand Robert Rules of Order, the seconding of a motion is not an indication that you agree with the motion.
Right.
It is merely an indication that you want to talk about it. So with that understanding, I second the motion.
Okay. Is there any further discussion for the audit committee?
And again, we will be discussing this at the full commission meeting, so no further discussion on my part.
All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
The ayes have it with two votes in favor of the motion. Paul Plunkett is opposing the motion, but the motion carries at this time. Now we'll have a report on the activities relating to the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund, and Leslie will give us that
okay.
report.
Okay, I'd like to call upon Christine Graham and Kimberly Bio and have them come forward. Y'all just pull up a chair. Christine is one of the senior members, leaders within our Consumer Protection Department. Kimberly Bio is our compliance coordinator and sort of housed in our legal department, but these two individuals staff members have jumped in eagerly to deal with financial education endowment as we've faced some transition, as the commission was aware at the last meeting. Juan Garcia has departed, as well as Deandra Sullivan, who were involved in this program. And so I really appreciate the efforts of Christine and Kimberly. They've jumped in, they've brought a lot of new energy and new ideas to the program, and they're going to give us a very brief presentation sort of on where we are.
Thank you.
So, Christine Graham, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. We emailed out last week a separate report for period three of the 2018-2019 grant cycle, which we'll be happy to answer any questions about. But I was just going to do a quick overview of the period three reports and reimbursements. We received reports from all of our award recipients. There were 9 of them, and we're currently processing reimbursements for 8 of the 9 award recipients. We do have 1 award recipient who has not requested any reimbursements grant cycle to date. We have been in discussions with this award recipient. It's a charter school in the Dallas area, and there were some rollout challenges with their program because the administration of the school wanted to focus on some of the more standard academics and testing, as opposed to moving students into this kind of optional financial education program. But the program has started. It was a partial rollout, and we do anticipate that we will receive a reimbursement request from this award recipient at the end of this next reporting period. So grant cycle to date, we have received reimbursement requests for $181,897. That's expended 72.76% of the funds that were available for TIFI in the 2018-2019 grant cycle. We have approximately $68,000 remaining for this last period. Reports for that period and reimbursements requests will be due on December 31st. I'd also just like to take a second to introduce Andrea Johnson. She is our new grant coordinator and financial education specialist. So she's jumped right in, been here a couple weeks, and we, you know, kept her busy. So I told her yesterday, have you know everything yet? So anyway, Kimberly's going to talk a little bit about the next cycle where we're at with that.
Thank you for that report.
I'm Kimberly Vio, Compliance Coordinator for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, and as Christine said, I'm here to talk about the 2020-21 grant cycle. Applications were due for that cycle initially on September 20th. We received 10 applications as of that date. The Grant Advisory Committee met by phone conference on September 26th and decided to extend the grant application period to December 31st. To allow for more outreach and participation in the grant program. So in working with the Grant Advisory Committee, we've been working to create a more robust contact list in addition to kind of what we did before the initial grant application deadline. We've been trying to get the word out about the extension. We've sent messages out to about 70 different contacts. Those include current grantees, former grantees, people who were former applicants, and others. We've reached out to about 14 school districts, and we've also posted our grant on the Comptroller's eGrants website to kind of get the word out. So that's kind of an ongoing process for us. We've also reached out to those organizations that did submit their grant by the deadline, and we're allowing them an opportunity to update their application if they like. The new grant cycle will start on March 1st rather than January 1st, so it'll be a 22 rather than 24 month grant cycle. So those applications will come in December. The Grant Advisory Committee will review them in January and bring their recommendations to the Audit Committee and ultimately the Finance Commission for their selection in February. We really appreciate the support and participation of our Grant Advisory Committee members. They're really helpful to us, and if you guys have any questions, we're happy to answer them.
You know, thanks y'all for making the presentation. I have this tape on that plays in my head anytime we have a presentation on this. And so you're going to have to listen to the tape replay out of my mouth. If you go to the TEA's website, it contains a list of approved educational modules for school districts to do financial education, and there's something like 30 approved programs there. And what I hope we don't do is duplicate any of those programs when we do a presentation. And so I hope when you get the presentations, if you sort of go back and look and make sure that it's not something that's already being done by some other agency, because I want us to do something different, if that makes sense to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's great feedback.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you both. And I was also going to say welcome to Andrea. So you'll be seeing her more in the future. And that concludes our report.
There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned. The time is 8:41.